What's happening, Jake?
How's it going, man?
I don't know. We just had some parenting talk going on.
Yep. So, those damn kids.
That's that premium content we can't share with you guys. Some dad talk. Well, we do a lot of dad talk, but yeah.
We're putting that behind a paywall.
Yeah. When we get enough, actually, man, we're pretty close to 10,000 downloads. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was checking that out the other day. That's like, that's a lot of people listening to us. What the heck just happened? Oh my goodness. Hold on. Say something. Can you
hear
me?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Okay.
I can hear
you. Here we go again with more. I can't do this anymore. I got to address last week. I apologize for any our Monday listeners that like to hit it at before work. That was a disaster. Well, we didn't release the episode till what, Tuesday?
Till Tuesday.
Yeah, that was messed up.
It was out there, but it was only like one second long.
It was 1 second long. Yeah. Anyways, my headphones just went off for a second. Now they're back on. But yeah, we had a 1 second episode on Monday, and then we released the real show Tuesday. What a fiasco that was! I couldn't figure it out for a while too. It was ridiculous.
So what did you end up finding out? Like it was the wrong file or what?
Well, we have our podcast editing software. And like I have to export the file. Like I do the edits. I add the intro music, add the outro, do a few edits of the stuff we, I don't know, take out. I guess it doesn't happen. I didn't really edit the last one other than the music, and I just like went to. You have to export the file from the software to your desktop. Somewhere in there, something got messed up, and the file was only 1 second long.
Yeah.
And I didn't look at it. And I saw your text in the morning, hey, something's wrong with the podcast. It was like way too late. Like I was getting ready to like go to work.
Yeah.
And saw your text and I was actually in my truck getting ready to go to work and I saw your text. And I like ran back into the house and grabbed my computer and tried to see it was wrong real quick. And I tried to re-export it. Like, I still had the window up. The software was still, I hadn't even closed it. Did the same thing. Wasn't working. Yeah. And then I got back home and just had to start from scratch and completely re-edit the whole episode. I don't know what was wrong. Something happened. A glitch in that podcast software. So that was
it
cool.
It happens.
I forget what I was saying before my headphones malfunctioned, but... Whatever. How was your week?
It was good. It's good. Big event this week was, of course, Henry turned 5. So that was kind of cool. He his aunt picked him up from school, took him out to lunch. They went to the Dairy Hut and got, you know, ice cream and stuff like that. So he was on cloud 9. He went back to school for the afternoon, and we had brought in cupcakes for his class to celebrate with his class, right? So he got a cupcake there. Then we come home. Gary's got football practice, so we've got to hurry up and kind of do a rushed birthday dinner for him, you know. So we do our dinner, and then we have cake afterwards, you know, sing him happy birthday, have cake, and he gets a nice big piece of cake. Then he opens his presents and he got a gumball machine, so he's like eating gumballs, right?
This is a lot of sugar.
One of Melissa's friends baked him a cake and brought it over, and he starts eating that too. Then Melissa's like, hey, no more sugar. Like, don't eat any more sugar. You're going to get sick. So then we kind of, after practice, we kind of go back and, I had to call my mom back, and we talked to her on the phone for just a few minutes, and we come back out and he has eaten the rest of the friend's cake and a bunch more gumballs and also got a bowl of ice cream on top of that. So it's like, I don't know how this kid didn't have like a sugar coma.
Wow. Like,
so Henry's diabetic now.
So was he bouncing off the walls or what?
I mean, not really. He always is. So he's just kind of normal Henry, right?
Yeah. You can't phase a full-blown addict. I mean, it's like, no. Like the drug addict that, you know, it's like, wow, how'd you do that? He's just unfazable.
Yeah. But I mean, I thought for sure that he was going to be throwing up all night. Nope. It was like nothing happened. He just, like, it was a completely normal day to him.
Like, sounds like a good birthday though.
Oh yeah. He had a blast.
That's I don't know. Yeah. You think like when you get older, you just can't, it's like acid reflex or upset stomach or
completely wrecks your body. Yeah.
Bathroom nightmare. Yeah.
Yeah. But that kid is a garbage disposal. He just eats anything and it just goes away.
Remember those days, man?
Yeah.
I
used to be that way.
You kind of are a garbage disposal until like, I don't know, somewhere in college, the early 20s.
Probably about 25.
Yeah. It's
different for everybody, but probably about 25.
It's just incredible. Yeah, it is. It was also my daughter's birthday last week. So I kind of went through, your story sounds very similar, besides the, three cakes and all that. Yeah, she's like not like Henry.
Yeah.
Thank goodness she's like my angel child. Like, no issues there, but they made the brownies and cupcakes for school, and she's just really having a good time. Her birthday was on Wednesday though, and we just kind of went out to eat at Red Lobster was her pick. So we like asked her, you know, where you want to eat dinner? Red Lobster. She loves the biscuits. That was during another bad storm was blowing through. We had another like tornado watch. It wasn't a warning. Yeah, we kind of watched that storm come through and dump some more rain down on us. Had her party. She had some friends. Then we had another party with family later in the week. And then on Saturday, we had she had five or six of her friends from school. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, her little sister and cousin, they had like a little friends party. Yeah. It was called like Glitter. I don't even know what it was. Like Glitter. This is the girl dad life here.
Girl dad.
It's like a little dress up. We went to a place. It was in Heath. It's like, I don't even know the name of it, but it was like dress up. They all dressed up as princesses, all her and her friends. Mm-hmm. And then they all got their nails done. They all got their hair done. They did all these crafts. They had a stage and runway. After they got their hair and makeup
fashion
done,
show.
They had a fashion show. Yeah. Yep. And there's like Disney music playing the whole time. They had a tea party, crafts. They made their own lip gloss. And they're jamming out to Taylor Swift and Britney Spears. And they were all like, I don't know. It was the cutest thing ever. Right.
Yeah.
So just the smiles on girls' faces when they like are getting their hair done and they feel pretty. It's just so wholesome.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's the girl dad effect. So different kind of lifestyle.
it is.
But it was cute. Yeah. I have to say. I was there. I was glad I was there to see it. I was like, oh, like this is too much.
Did they do your hair too?
Yeah. No, I was just sitting there I was just twirling my hair in the corner.
Craig's like, why not me?
Can you do mine next? Come on, bro. You might be that internet troll.
I have a history of being an internet troll, that's for sure.
Oh, you do? You're actually an internet troll?
I've done my fair share of trolling in my day. I've outgrown it, I think, and now I'm just a, like an in-person troll.
Yeah, but. You are a troll.
Yeah.
Actually, I can put my hair in a ponytail now.
Yeah.
I did it, and I did not like what I saw.
You got to go with the man bun.
I did it. I did not like what I saw.
Yeah.
It's pretty much hat or nothing. And when I don't have a hat, I'm like, wow, you know, this sucks. I'm like, I'm really close to like haircut time, but I don't know. Yeah. I've been resisting it because I'm not going to grow my hair out like anytime soon. Like once I cut this again,
it's going to be a while.
This might be it. Yeah. Yeah. Might be it. Might like do it again in like my 50s, just be like, hey, remember that?
I'm a hippie now.
Yeah, but solid week. We found some morel mushrooms.
Yeah, I saw
actually
that.
Mushroom hunting story. We got back from the dress up party and the tea party, and we were beelining it back to New Concord. It was like opening day for kids' mm-hmm. baseball. So
yep.
Stella's cousin was playing a baseball game. We're all going to catch the game. I told Jess we were driving by where I used to grow up. And like I know those woods like the back of my hand because mm-hmm. I spent all my time back there.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, Jess, why don't you just drop me off here and let me look for mushrooms like while this game's going on?
You didn't go to the game?
And she's like, no, I didn't go to the game.
Oh,
and she's
man.
Like, she's like, really, Craig? And she said, after the game, you know, me, you, the girls, and the baby, we can go mushroom hunting together. I'm like,
that sounds terrible.
Yeah.
You're gonna take a baby mushroom hunting?
I'm like, I said, listen to what you just said to me. Like, you really think me, a 3-year-old girl, a 5-year-old girl, and a newborn baby, we're all going to go mushroom hunting, huh? Like, you really think that's going to happen? And she like looked at me and was like, yeah, that's not going to happen. So I had her drop me off by the railroad tracks, and I was just getting ready to start to walk down the tracks, and I looked up to Route 40 up the hill mm-hmm. through the woods, and I saw no other than my dad's truck drive by, which yeah. he doesn't live anywhere close to there anymore either.
Uh-uh.
So I called him up. I'm like, hey, what are you doing? He said, I'm going to look for mushrooms.
Great minds think alike.
I'm like, yeah, that's what I said. Birds of a feather flock together. I said, I'm down at the railroad tracks. I said, come pick me up. So we went back to where I used to live and wandered around. I don't know if we were trespassing or not.
Sounds like you were trespassing.
It wasn't posted, no trespassing. I think that's kind of the rule. Like, you can just trespass till you get caught and told not to.
Is it?
That's a rule.
Is that the rule?
That's the rule.
That's Craig's rule.
I got rights to that land just because I know. Anyways, we walked around.
Do you?
We walked around for like 3 hours. Did not find any mushrooms. And I called my dad, and I was like, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm almost back to the truck. He's like, there ain't any mushrooms out here. I'm like, yeah. I said, I'm not having any luck. And he said, there's no mushrooms here. I'm going back to the truck. He said, I'm standing on stump right now, looking around. This should be Mushroom Central, and I can't find. And they said, oh, wait, I see one. I see my first, I see a mushroom. And then he found like 20 right there. So
nice.
I didn't personally pick any mushrooms myself, but I stopped him from walking.
There you go.
And was talking to him on the phone, and I think I get credit.
He would have walked right by him.
He would have walked right by him. So yep. we fried most of them up tonight. We couldn't eat them all. Cooked up a lot of them, get some butter and some flour. Couldn't eat them all, dude. We found a lot. Oh, he found a lot.
Yeah.
Because of me. No. It's funny. It's like dumb luck finding them almost. Like you can wander around forever and then you find 2 pounds in like, they're in clusters.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's pretty good though. But that's good. My more. You ever partook in mushroom hunting?
No, I can't say that I have.
Yeah. It's I feel like it was a lot easier when I was a kid. I don't know why.
Yeah. Probably because you could search for hours as a kid and not realize that you've been out there for hours, but now you're like much more aware of how much time you're spending.
Or it's just like day. I don't know. I could search for mushrooms like day after day, and it didn't really matter because I had all the time in the world. And exactly. Now I like have to squeak it out and skip my nephew's baseball game to do it.
Yeah,
it's actually glad I missed. They got beat 36-2.
What?
Or wait, 32-6. 32-6. The cap, the most you're allowed to score is 36.
Hold on. What age group is this?
This is one step above T-ball, like the first year of
Coach Pitch. Okay, so it's Coach Pitch.
Yeah.
So they have probably a six-run limit?
Six innings, six runs.
But they don't have a mercy rule?
Apparently not.
That's crazy. Yeah, you should have a fourth-inning mercy rule.
Yeah, so they scored the max, almost the max you could score, like every inning. They held them to less than six runs, like once, apparently.
Well, they probably just didn't.
Six times six is 36.
Yeah, yeah, so, and they got 32, so they
It was 32-6. Okay.
All right. We also had opening day for Gary. We got a nice 6-1 win, so that was nice.
Sounds like a competitive game.
Yeah, we kind of broke it open in the fifth inning. It was 2-1 going into the fifth inning, and or 2-0 going into the fifth inning, and we ended up scoring four runs. Then they got one in the sixth. So, yeah,
is it kid pitch now or
no? He's in coach pitch. Yep. Yeah. He's got 2 years of coach pitch.
Okay. So this is his first year.
This is his first year. Okay. He played last year what they call rookie league, which is it's like a hybrid coach pitch T-ball. You get your five pitches, and if you can't hit one of them, then you hit off a tee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of what they do.
Yeah. But now it's like if you get your six pitches, and if you swing and miss three times, you're out. So lot of strikeouts, you know?
Yeah. Keep the score down.
Yeah, keep the game moving.
I don't really know how this coach pitch worked because I wasn't there.
Yeah.
All right, well, what are we going to talk about this week, man?
Let's
talk about money.
Let's talk about money.
We were talking about money. You're throwing a couple things around, and I landed on, I was flipping through my Bible. I thought, you know, what does God say about money? Like, how are we supposed to treat it? You know, as Christians. So it kind of sparked this conversation. Kind of looking through some things. I don't know. It sounds like it's in the Bible. It seems like it's more to be used kind of like a tool to do good. And I think we've had some conversations kind of related to, you know, one of our other real talks. Was it the last week or the week before?
I think it was the week before.
Where your treasure is,
there your heart will be also.
I don't know. It's like, I don't know. I was looking through a lot.
In that same, you know, section, that same chapter, the couple verses before it, it says, do not store up yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up your treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. So it's kind of like a, hey, don't keep all your money and all of these valuables for yourself. Like, you know, it's okay to make a lot of money, but you shouldn't be trying to store it up for, you know, more money than you could ever need to live. Right.
Right.
You use that money to do good in life and to help other people that need it. Right.
Right. And, it's funny cause I got a friend who I talk to periodically, just, you know, one of those guys that calls me up every few weeks and we chat for, you know, 20 minutes. And the conversation kind of steered towards, I don't know if I, this was before we picked the real talk, actually. Yeah. It kind of stemmed towards that. It's like, hey, I got this relative who's got all this money, you know, but he's like never gonna share any of it. Like, what's the point of that? What's the point of like,
it's crazy, isn't it?
I don't know. What's the point of, this is kind of where the conversation went. Like, what's the point of building all of that wealth and working your butt off if it's not for a reason? Like, I mean, there's some people who are really like, you know, just don't share. I don't know. They don't use their wealth to share any time or to even help their family out in any way. Most do. I would say most do. But there's some oddball people that are kind of just like, I don't know. I feel like they live a shallow life, I guess. It's like the almost like the millionaire that kills himself, right? Like, what are you doing, right?
Yeah. I don't know. But it's also like, you know, you hear about billionaires all the time that have, you know, so much money that they could never want for anything, right? And they just continue, like, they couldn't spend the money that they have for multiple generations, right?
Yeah.
And yet they're out trying to get more money, and that's the only thing that's like consuming them, right?
So the guy I was talking to, it was one of his family members is doing really well, really wealthy, and they just bought a beach house. And I was like, oh, yeah, like, you're gonna go down there, like, gonna it was a very close direct relative. He's like a mother-in-law or something, and he's like, yeah, I don't think she's gonna let us come. I'm like, oh my god, like what's the point?
The that's point? Crazy.
And like, they're close.
Yeah,
I mean, they're like a unit. I don't know, just kind of a weird one. It's like, why are you working then? What are you doing that for? Like,
right?
You're buying a beach house to get away from your family.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's just weird.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just and then we got on this topic for real talk. It's like, I don't know. I think money should be a tool to buy back time with your family, or, you know, even like employ your family members that, you know, I don't know. It's just like, you're buying back time to me when you're striving and working hard for extra money. Yeah. Another verse I kind of sent to you, and we had a conversation back about scroll back to Mark 10:23. It says, how difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. So that verse is like, tells his disciples that the rich don't, if you get rich, you're not like winning any award to get to heaven. It actually might make it more difficult. Kind of like you got more responsibility to do good the more money you have, I guess, is kind of what that means.
Yeah.
How difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. That's in the Bible. It's difficult. Yeah. The more wealth you have, the more difficult it will be to enter heaven.
Yeah. I think the point of that is, it's not so much, hey, don't go out and make money. It's, you know, use your money to do good things. If you are saving up the money, then you're not helping others with it. Right. Therefore a rich man, he probably has all of that money in most cases because he's not doing the right things with it. Right.
In most cases, maybe. Yeah. In
most cases.
Yeah, but in other cases, you know, it's,
yeah, it doesn't say it's God impossible willing. For a rich man to get into heaven. It says it's difficult, right?
Yeah, and it says in the Bible that the disciples were shocked by this because they assumed the rich would have a better chance.
Right.
And Jesus said, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God.
Yeah, I think this was one of Jesus's, you know, when he came and he started doing his preaching, he kind of took the current establishment and flipped it on its head, right? He said, the way that you guys are doing things is just backwards. So we need to kind of, you need to get back to the way that the thing should be. And that's by helping and forgiving and, you know, loving each other, right?
Right.
So one of the way I always think about it is, you know, it's kind of the inverted pyramid, right? Where, you know, think of a pyramid. You've got a wide base at the bottom, where that's where most people are. And then as you get higher and higher, as you get more and more money, more and more power, you know, the most powerful, the richest man is at the top of the pyramid, right? Mm-hmm. So everybody's kind of like, oh, we have to help him because he can help us with all of his money, right? Well, the way that that Jesus taught was we should flip that pyramid upside down, right? So the people with no money, they're the most important people. And really, it's the responsibility of the people with the money. They're on the bottom. They're the lowest guy. And they should be trying to help others, you know, reach their goals. And I always kind of think of it as like a, you know, because I'm a big sports fan. I think of it like a coach, right? The coach is at the top of the pyramid for the team. And when a coach is successful, all of his players are successful. So a coach's job is not to win the game. It's to put his players in position for they themselves to be successful, right? The best coaches, they may not have the best players, but their players have the most success. So then all of the players are then, it kind of feeds itself into a big circle because all of the players are then wanting to play harder for that coach who is only wanting to make them successful, right?
Right. Yeah, I really like that analogy. Kind of really makes sense. It's like it's almost like a beam of light.
Yeah.
Spreads, you know, the inverted pyramid. Yes. It's like that's how you should be.
Right.
What else? I stumbled across some other things. You really explained to me I was kind of confused by the camel going through the eye of a needle analogy. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. So obviously a camel going through the eye of a needle is not easy. It's nearly impossible.
It's impossible, right?
Nearly impossible.
Yeah.
It is impossible. But by that statement, it is impossible. That's why I found that weird that Jesus said that.
Yeah. You could make a pretty big needle, right?
I guess so.
Hey, with God, all things are possible, right? We learned that last week.
Yeah. Mark 4:8-19. And the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of the riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. So that kind of means the deceitfulness of the riches. It kind of like what you said earlier, like most people who amass a ton of wealth have kind of screwed a bunch of people over in the process. I'm not saying like you shouldn't provide for your family and seek making money. Like the Bible does say, you know, it's, you should work hard and you know that, I don't know. I guess it's more so says that you like don't need it in excess.
Right.
I mean,
the Bible talks about excess a lot, actually. And basically what it says is moderation is good. Enough is enough, right? You know, we kind of talked earlier about how it's okay to drink, but it's not okay to drink to excess, right? To get hammered.
Yeah.
I think it's the same way with money, right? It's good to have money. That's a good thing, but you don't need too much money.
Right. I mean, in some cases though, maybe you do. Maybe you're like the one that needs to make a bunch of money to help all your, I don't know, your everything around you's failing and flopping, and you really need to strive and, you know, make an impact. Like, sure. That can be a thing too.
Yeah.
everybody's in different situations. Like, we all have such different lives, and, you know, I don't know. It's like, in some cases, that could be seen as a really, really good thing. In some cases, you know, you're part of something, and you're doing good things, like, within what you're doing, and you don't need to, like, you know, always be wanting more, and you kind of just need to be helping your team, and making, you know, you're at the bottom, like the bottom, the point of the pyramid. You need to make, you know, spread the, I don't know, spread the love, keep the organization you're in thriving. That is the fruits of your labor, is like, that's your positivity that you're spreading. Not everybody needs to strive to be at the top of the pyramid. Money wise is what I'm saying. Right. I guess right. All kinds of people make this world go around. That's kind of what I'm getting from it.
Yeah. And the other thing that, you know, I kind of wanted to bring up on the same kind of subject is, it's not like we're talking about this in the sense of money, right? And how it applies to money. But wealth can be about more than money. And, you know, when we're talking about giving, sometimes it's just as good to give, you know, time or effort or favors to people if you don't have the money to give, especially if you don't have the money to give. You know, everybody has value. Everybody has something that they can, you know, give to someone else. Yeah. And I think that that's kind of what the heart of this issue is, right? If you have money, great. If you don't have money, there's still things that you can do with your time, and show people that you care about them, right?
Yeah, I actually stumbled across this. I'm not sure the verse, but it said, when Jesus said, when someone asks you to walk a mile with them, walk two. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, you can. I thought that was kind of a powerful statement. Mm-hmm. I mean, when someone needs your help, help them more than they even want to be helped.
Right.
I don't know. It's just, that one stuck out to me a lot, actually. And it's crazy, the little, what impact that little bit of extra effort, like, wow, you know, Jake really helped me out there. Like, he didn't have to do that. Like, stuff like that is really important and can really impact someone a lot. Like, I remember when I was moving out of my first house, and I didn't really ask anybody for help, but, I think I needed help with like one thing. It was just too heavy for me to move. And I had like I asked Clint, my brother, and my uncle Steve, if he there's like nobody there to help. And, I asked Steve if he could help me move like one thing on some random day. And he came over, helped me move that item. And then he's like looking around. He's like, you got a lot more work to do here, man. I'm like, oh yeah, I got it. Like, I just need help with that. Like, that was the thing that was the thing that I couldn't do. Like, thanks. Like, that's all I need. He's like, no, I'll help you. Yeah. And then he like stayed the rest of the day, which I didn't ask him for. But wow, he was really helping me move everything that day, sweat with me. Yeah. You know, I bought him lunch and stuff. And it's kind of like one of those days that you never forget when someone goes the extra mile for you, like, for no reason. Like, I could have moved all that stuff. Right. But it took me 2 days instead of one, but I was like, wow, man, Steve's a really good guy.
Yeah.
Like, that was awesome.
Yep.
That is one of them things that I'll never forget. And it's like, if you could do that for somebody, I'm not saying you have to spend the whole day.
Right.
But maybe you will. If you have the time. It just so happened he had the time. You know, obviously.
Yeah. That's a really cool story. And the thing is, it didn't cost him a dime, right? It cost him nothing but his time and effort, but it made such a big impact on you, and saved you so much hassle of doing that by yourself. I mean, that's a big deal.
I mean, if you see somebody, if you got the time and you can, like I said, if they ask for a mile and you give them two, pretty powerful. That wasn't about money at all, but like you said, there's different currencies,
definitely,
in this world, and that's what that's the type of currency God wants you to use.
Yeah.
All right. Got a Patriot this week.
Yeah, my Patriot of the week is a Minnesota Twins outfielder, Byron Buxton. The Minnesota Twins were playing against the Baltimore Orioles in Baltimore, and they had a fan, a kid that wanted to get his ball signed. He caught a ball, wanted to get it signed.
If they catch a ball, you gotta give it back.
You have to give it back. No way, man. So he wanted to get it signed by Byron Buxton, the Twins outfielder, and he actually gave it to the usher, who went down to the field and got it signed and was bringing it back. But as the usher was coming back, some grown man snatched it out of the usher's hand and took off running and left the stadium. They never found him.
Oh, no.
Isn't that crazy? Like, who would do that?
A Byron Buxton ball thief.
A Byron Buxton ball thief.
That's a heck of a name, too, by the way.
It is. So the mom, shared the story on social media, and it got back around to Byron Buxton. And he said, we're going to make this right. And for those who don't know, the way that Major League Baseball scheduling works is a team will go, they play a series, three or four games in a row against the same team in the same city on consecutive days. So the next night, they were able to get in contact with the mom and get them front row seats right there in the outfield.
Wow, that spread fast.
Yeah, right. For the family, right? So the Baltimore Orioles gave them the seats. So they're Patriots too here. And they were able to work it out with Byron to get this fan not only a ball, but they also got him batting gloves and a bat.
Nice.
Signed by Byron Buxton. The kid, what went from devastation turned out to be, pretty cool story. So,
man, who would snatch a ball out of the usher's hand?
Isn't that crazy? What kind of low life would do that?
Usually, like, ushers are the most friendliest, nicest, like, old retired type person too.
Yeah.
What a scumbag.
It's crazy. Also wanted to point out that the Baltimore Orioles, their management, they took over. It's a brand new owner. They took over in the winter, like right before the season, right? They've only had it for a couple months. And in those couple months, they've done this. They were your Patriot of the Week a couple weeks ago for donating to the Bridge Fund, right?
Yeah.
And they also, on opening day this year, they went to one of the local bars around the stadium and bought everybody in the bar a beer.
Wow.
So they seem to be really doing a lot to, help out the community. They seem like pretty good owners, right? Kind of like what we talked about. They want to help everybody else enjoy them owning the team, right?
I guess they got that wealth. We know that.
They do. They spent $1.7 billion. This group spent $1.7 billion buying the Baltimore Orioles.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've never understood how baseball is so profitable.
They have so many games.
I guess so.
I mean, you get 81 home games every year.
I guess so. Ooh. All right. Big yawn there. It's that baseball talk.
Hey, now.
When's the last major league game you've been to?
I went to a Guardians game last year.
Ah, the old Guardians.
Yep, and I was at a Clippers game a couple weeks ago. So
yeah, I didn't know about the Clippers. So is Clippers, like a Guardians team? Like a who are they underneath?
Yes, they're the triple A team for the Guardians.
I can just never get used to saying Guardians.
Guardians, yeah.
Whatever.
I'm just trying not to get canceled.
Good luck with that. Yeah. Our page is already like canceled. like our social media pages. We get a lot, we have a lot of followers, but like it will not show the people who've chosen to follow us like our content. Like we are shadow banned.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy. Or we just need to up our content game.
Or we need to start making contributions to Instagram's
ads.
Bottom line.
Ad service. Yeah, we have not done any of that. Like, I'm not kidding, though. It's weird. We have like 3,500 followers, but like our videos will get like 300 views. Like they're only showing us, showing our videos to our most rabid fans, but like what about all those other ones? Like, why don't these throw us a bone every once in a while? I don't know, it doesn't make sense.
I don't know. Speaking of social media ads, have you noticed, and maybe it's because I'm on Twitter and that's where he decided to go, have you noticed the insane amount of Liver King ads?
No, I'm not getting the Liver King ads. Because I already follow Liver King.
Maybe. I swear, just scrolling through Twitter, now X, right? I get like every 10th post on there is Liver King.
Whoa.
He's got a video. He's doing some kind of sweepstakes or something.
And it's sponsored?
It's sponsored. Yeah, because I do not follow Liver King. and it even says in the corner, this, you know, ad.
Follow him. Yeah. That here's the thing. I don't use X or Twitter. So he's
only doing it on X. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like the Instagram guy.
Yeah.
Do you use TikTok?
I do a little bit. Yep.
I don't consume TikTok. I'm all Instagram and Facebook.
Ah, you're under that Meta brand.
Yeah, I'm a Meta guy. And I don't know why, because they hate me.
It's because you just look up to Mark Zuckerberg. He is your idol.
It's because anything Patriot is like automatic, like blacklist.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
That's why we need to get on Twitter, because Elon Musk would never do that.
Oh, I got some news for you. Did you see the, you know, the crazy plane lady? That motherfucker's not real. That lady.
Yes.
She's been in the headlines lately. Did you see that she's apparently ultra conservative?
Awesome.
Which I did not really see that coming, because she's like loony. But she was posing in a bikini with a new beer called Ultra Right. And she's in like an American flag bikini, skimpy, and had this beer can, and all the news outlets have kind of been running with that. And her video has been if you see her video making the rounds again, that's why. I don't know. Now she's a ultra right. I think it's because the news outlets love that she's a conservative.
Probably.
So then they can run with, look at this crazy MAGA lady.
Yeah.
Like, this is the one that thought she was seeing people on the plane. And now she's promoting ultra-right beer. So, yeah, of course they're going to run with that. You're gonna see it. If you haven't seen it, you're going to see it.
Oh, yeah.
X will catch up eventually.
I saw something about her. I just didn't care enough to stop and look at it.
Oh, I looked at it. I watched the video again, had a good laugh.
Yeah.
I don't know what the heck she was going through, though, in that moment. Like, I think she's on drugs or some big mental break or what?
Yeah, I've actually heard her on interviews. She did an interview with the Barstool guys, and she doesn't even know what she was thinking. She says she's just not really sure. So she like didn't want to get into it too much. They just kind of.
But that is why you're famous. That's right. It's crazy that she's been interviewed by Barstool. Now she's promoting this beer brand, and I found her profile like from a news thing, and I clicked on it. She's got like 160,000 followers, and she's batshit. She's nuts.
Yeah.
She's a Looney Tune.
This is what you need to do. You need to get on an airplane and make a huge scene, go viral, and then people will just start flocking to the podcast. Everyone will listen.
I don't know. We're doing something wrong. We're doing this slow growth thing, but yeah, we got to do something. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing any crazy crap. I don't care.
Yeah.
I do kind of want to try that ultra right beer, though. Could be our new thing.
Yeah, I'll definitely try it. We need to do a taste test, that versus Bud Light.
It's a Texas-based beer brand. So, and they're fitting. I don't know if the crazy airplane lady, I forget her name, something Gomez.
Tiffany Gomez.
See, you do know a lot about this lady.
She was Gomez. On. Yeah.
So, it's based out of Texas, and if she got a hold of it, I think mm-hmm. we could too, possibly. Do they like ship beer?
If not, we just need to go to Texas.
I've never been to Texas.
Yeah, I've been a couple times.
I'm imagining like very cowboy, very dry and sandy.
Yeah.
Mexico.
It's like classy Mexico.
Classy Mexico. What the crap? All right. Oh, yeah. Patriot of the Week, right?
Your Patriot of the Week.
All right. My Patriot of the Week comes out of more tornado talk. The Indian Lake tornado is a Indian Lake man. Was his area, he was camping in an RV park. In the area that got hit by the tornado. Well, the RV park was not directly hit, so he was lucky that that didn't happen, because, gosh,
that could have been bad.
It was an F3 tornado. I mean, it's a serious tornado in the Indian Lake area. But missed the RV park, but he was out of power. But this is 2 days later. He was trying to fire up his generator in the RV park, and he's trying to get water flowing from the well to his camper again, and started having chest pains. Then the pain went down his left arm, and before he knew it, he was like driving his truck at the time back to the RV, and he starts honking his horn because he knew something was going on. His wife, luckily, came out, found him, and they immediately, you know, called a squad. Well, the problem was, you know, this is right in the aftermath of the tornado. Trees are down everywhere. Roads are closed. Traffic's back up. And they're in a dire situation. Massive heart attack. Leah Edwards and Chad Kern, who are working in the disaster zone, were at his doorstep in minutes. And, Chad said, as soon as I looked at him, I knew he needed to move soon. He was in rough shape. Like I said, the problem was the dire situation on the roadways. Luckily, you know, Chad thought they weren't really going to make it. Like, he's like thinking in his head. He says in the interview, like, there's no way with all this traffic we're going to get to the hospital in time. Well, somehow he said that, you know, All the motorists on the road were super, like, courteous and cooperative with the ambulance, and they were like moving, like almost pull. They were. He said they were literally pulling their cars into ditches so they could get around trees. And he said there was like they're like moving trees, tons of obstacles to get this guy to the hospital. But everybody was moving out of their way so well that they got there way faster than he expected. They had an emergency heart cath put in. They found the blockage and had his blood flow restored in 29 minutes, which is, I guess, a record for the heart cath procedure. And he survived. So just want to give a shout out to them and all the other motorists and people who helped that dude get to the hospital that quickly in the face of a natural disaster at that.
Yeah, there was a lot that really could have went wrong there. You know, the tornado hitting the the RV park.
Missed it. Yeah,
missed it. Then, you know, the ambulance not getting there in time. And yeah, I mean, that could have went really, really poorly. But somehow, somehow it didn't. So that's awesome.
It's awesome. We got Patriot Picks. What are we doing this week on Patriot Picks?
We're going to do top breakfast foods. So, best way to start your day.
Hearty
breakfast.
Now, does this include drinks? Or are we just talking about food?
I did not have it including drinks, but...
You just stick to food.
We'll stick to food.
Because there is only one king of drink. That's coffee.
I thought you were going to say Bloody Mary.
No, I hate Bloody Mary. Do you like Bloody Marys?
If you get a good one, they're solid.
I've never had one I liked. And I've never desired any amount of alcohol in the morning, like after I drank alcohol. Like, you know, people say it's the hangover drink. No. Have you desired a Bloody Mary?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know. This sounds gross. But now coffee's king. Then what's after that? Orange juice, Bloody Mary. Yep. That's it. That's your options. Water. All right. What do you got? Heads or tails for the breakfast foods?
I'll take tails. Invalid.
Invalid? All right, I'll do it again. Tails?
Tails.
I did fumble it. Oh. I fumbled it again.
Invalid.
This sucks. Now I'm stressed.
If you fail a third time.
It's tails.
All right.
First one was heads, so that sucks.
I got a streak.
You are on a streak. All right, what do you got? Your top breakfast food.
My top breakfast food is biscuits and gravy. Number one. Can't beat it.
That's a bad pick.
How is that a bad pick?
Because my top breakfast food is bacon.
Yeah. Okay. Solid. Give me biscuits and gravy.
And I get to go again.
You get to go again.
I get eggs. I got eggs and bacon.
That's a solid start.
Eggs and bakey. Wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey.
I will go with sausage as my second pick.
I really wanted sausage.
So
that's not a good thing to say.
My question to you is links or patties?
I am a big link guy.
Yeah.
This is also not a good thing to say.
I prefer patties, but I could definitely get down on some links.
Well, that's because you prefer patties because you're a biscuits and gravy guy, and you kind of you could chop them up and kind of more meatify the gravy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yep. For my last pick, I am going to go with pancakes.
Okay. I'm torn on my last pick now. It wasn't going to be pancakes, but pancakes are good. They're kind of like a good like community meal.
Yes. The kids eat them, love them.
Pretty good.
Everybody loves pancakes.
Everybody loves the, are they called pancakes or hotcakes or flapjacks? What?
I think it's kind of like a soda versus pop. Like wherever you're at, they call them something different, you know?
But doesn't McDonald's call them hotcakes?
I think so.
Yeah.
But if you're eating McDonald's pancakes, you got bigger problems.
Dude, I mean, I don't like love them, but I kind of do. You don't like hotcakes and sausage from McDonald's? Like, I'm not saying every day,
I don't know. Anymore, I find it hard to eat anything from McDonald's.
What about
McDonald's guy?
What about the biscuits and gravy situation over there?
They have biscuits and gravy at McDonald's?
Yeah, I think so.
No. I know they have biscuits.
This answers that.
I know they have biscuits. Their biscuits are all right.
Okay, so where is a good place to procure a solid biscuits and gravy, since that is your top?
My house.
No.
I make awesome biscuits and gravy.
Yeah, you do. You're right. Okay. Well, I'm kind of torn here. I guess I'm going to go with French toast. I'll take French toast.
Okay.
Somewhere between French toast, waffles, and oatmeal, which are, that's a not
the same.
Not the same.
Nice.
Go with French toast.
Okay.
Okay.
What you got for honorable mention?
Well, I kind of gave my honorable mention.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of all I eat.
I had donuts. Always a nice, that's another good community one, right? Just go get a box of donuts.
That's a good family thing. Or
yep.
Yeah, you take some donuts to work.
Yeah.
Big morale booster.
Yeah.
Slam some donuts.
Have you ever heard of Scrapple?
No.
So Scrapple's kind of an East Coast thing. It's like a sausage based meat type breakfast meat, you know?
Yeah,
but my wife's grandma, she used to make it, and the first time I ever had it, we went to her house. She lived in Baltimore at the time, and you know, we get up for breakfast in the morning, and she's like, here, try this. Have you ever had Scrapple before? I'm like, no, never.
How do you spell this?
Scrapple.
Scrapple.
Scrapple. I'm like, nope, I've never heard of this, never had it. I try it, pretty solid. It's you can tell that it's a sausage-based food, right?
Dude, I just Googled a picture of it. It looks like the weirdest, most awful thing I've ever seen. It
yeah,
looks like a
that's
brownie on a plate.
Yeah, that's not what hers looked like anyway.
Okay,
hers was like fried, right?
Yes, kind of looks like a piece of meatloaf.
Kinda, yeah, similar.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah, but yeah, she like made a bunch of it, right? And yeah, she like would not let me stop eating it until I had like 2.5 pounds of it. And then I was like, I don't think I can eat another bite. And she's like, you didn't like it, did you? Like, what are you talking about?
I'm surprised I've never heard of it.
It's like a big East Coast thing. So it's not really common in our area. But like, you know, Baltimore, it's very common.
Honorable mention, omelets. We missed omelets.
Pretty good. That's kind of eggs, right?
Yeah, that might have been one of those picks that made you mad, because I'm like picking a bunch of things.
Eggs. How about cereal?
No.
No, I'm not a big cereal guy, but my wife and kids love cereal.
I'm a cereal guy when I'm like really desperate. Like there's nothing in the fridge, or we're out of eggs, we're out of milk.
Yep.
Which milk is a not, it's a drink, but man, what a staple of breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
We got quiche.
Yeah. That's our Christmas breakfast food.
Yeah.
Very good.
I don't think I ever had quiche till I like met my wife.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you ever have cocoa wheats?
Cocoa wheats.
Growing up.
No.
Oh, it's like it's a weird thing. It's a poor people thing. Comes in a box, and you like mix it with water and you stir it up and boil it, and it like becomes some like oatmeal-y brown porridge. It's like porridge.
Okay.
Yeah, we ate that a lot when I was a kid. And then you can dip your toast in it. Some toast and cocoa wheats.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have not had that in a long time, but I grew up eating that.
There you go.
Mom's thing. I don't know. What else we got? We got potatoes.
Yeah, hash browns.
Mm-hmm. Man, when you get the hash browns, you know you've had like a real complete breakfast. You're like, I just ate my sausage, my eggs, hash browns, my biscuits. Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep you going, too.
Oh, yeah.
All right. What are you going to eat tomorrow for breakfast?
Probably nothing. I'll probably just roll out of bed and go to work and...
Don't tell me you're one of these guys.
I am typically one of those guys, yeah.
You don't eat breakfast?
In the before work, usually not.
What the heck is wrong with you?
Coffee.
You just wake up, you don't eat anything?
Nope. I wake up, grab a cup of coffee, hit the road.
Wow. I can't believe I just had this conversation with you. You're telling me this for the first time.
It's been that way for quite a while, yeah.
I cannot function without breakfast. I will not do anything. I refuse to do anything until I eat like one egg.
Yeah.
At least. Usually I about 50-50. I'll make breakfast. I'll make two eggs. It's always two. And then I'll either eat bacon or sausage. Mm-hmm. If it's bacon, I'll eat like six strips of bacon. Mm-hmm. Or if it's sausage, I'll eat like six links. Then that's kind of my go-to. And coffee. And then if I don't do that, I go down to the gas station, which is down the road. They actually make really good. I'll get my coffee down there. And it's like a little breakfast sandwich. Mm-hmm. Just a hamburger bun. But it's got a real egg and a pretty thick patty. Like a, I don't know, 3/4-inch sausage patty.
Nice.
Cheese. Hard, probably egg over hard.
Mm-hmm.
Grab that. They got mustard and A1. Slap some of that on there. I eat that a lot of mornings too. So
there you go.
I will not go to work without eating.
There's on the weekends, I'll usually make breakfast for everybody, and sometimes it just depends on what we got going on. We're just always on the go, so it's hard to like make a good sit down meal, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I love going to Denny's. The Denny's in our town is amazing.
Yeah.
It's a solid one. But I can't wait till tomorrow to eat some breakfast.
What are you going to have? Any of those things you just mentioned?
I'm probably going to eat at home tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the coffee's better when I eat at home. The gas station has the really good sandwich, but their coffee is god awful.
You just got to get the coffee to go and then get the
I do that sometimes. Yeah. When I do that sometimes, and the lady notices when I don't, she always says, "No coffee today?" I'm like, "I made my own." She's like, "Oh."
She's offended.
I like, yeah, she's offended because she's the one that like,
in your sandwich.
She's the one that brews it. But the great thing about when I go to that gas station is it's only $5.
Nice.
$5 breakfast. I can survive off of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll probably do the two eggs, and just bought a bunch of bacon today. So I'm going to do that. Yeah. All right. Current events.
I don't have anything listed.
I thought I had something I was thinking about. I
thought so.
Well, the problem is I think about a lot of things, and it's like a tornado, and whatever comes out, it's like you're lucky to even hear it. Or sometimes I'll even start saying something and won't even finish the thought in mid-sentence, move on to something else. You ever notice that? I don't
finish. No, never.
Don't finish stories.
No.
Man, crazy.
Never experienced that coming from you before.
Me and Jess were having that conversation today, actually. She's like very OCD and like do a task, get it done. Mm-hmm. And I'm like the tornado that's like running around. I'm like attempting to do like 10
everything.
Ten tasks at once. And like,
and so you end up doing like each of them like halfway. And then you start something else.
Like simultaneously doing 20 things, it takes a lot longer, and they all eventually get done. But yeah, a lot of time has to go by.
I'm sure that that drives her crazy.
Hey, it's like a, I don't know. You gotta have all types of people.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm one of those. Actually, like if you haven't been around a Lube, like almost every Lubeberg's like one of those. It's like,
yeah,
you get caught in a tornado of crap going on. It's just like ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's dumb. But hey, what were we talking about? Current events.
Current events. You got any?
I'm trying to whirl back around to that thing I was thinking about, but I don't think I do. No.
Okay.
Other than maybe it was Ultra Right Girl.
Yeah.
I mean, that might have been my big deal this week. What happened to World War III? Is that still going on?
They say it is. We'll see.
Oh, I know what it was. Yes, I do know what it was. I did it.
killed enough time. It came back.
I started watching a Netflix show for the first time in a long time.
Okay.
Last night, and I kind of regretted it. I got sucked into it. I watched like three episodes, I think. The new Fallout, or it wasn't even Netflix. It was a Prime Video. Okay. The new Fallout series. I got sucked into that. It was pretty cool. Okay. Mostly, have you heard about this yet?
No. Is it like based on the video game?
Yeah. So there's a video game, and I played it like when I was in high school in 2008, mm-hmm. and I enjoyed it. Yeah. And I might have played the sequel, but I can't remember if I did or I didn't. But they came out with like a TV series. It's pretty cool. It's like set in oh, that's what sprung up the thought. The World War III thing. It's like set in World War. It's like if World War II, if nukes dropped all over the United States and we like lost World War II, basically, and then everybody had to go into hiding because of nuclear, radiation. Like the surface became radiated.
Uninhabitable,
uninhabitable. Well, the Fallout series is set 200 years after that nuclear event. Mm-hmm. And, the rich actually survived underground in these vaults.
Mm-hmm.
But like the poor people like were left above ground. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, it's just a kind of a cool series. It's a cool game. It's a cool Netflix series too. I kind of recommend it. You get sucked into it.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. Did you ever play the game at all, or you just heard about it?
Yep, I just heard about it.
Yeah. Like, so
probably from you. Probably watched you play it.
Yeah. So the like above ground people are like more Mad Maxy, like savages. And like only the strong survived, and only the ruthless.
Yeah.
You know, and rudimentary. Yeah. And then the vault people are all like sciencey. Like they've only survived 200 years underground because they're super smart, super organized. And then it's like the savage people, like every once in a while, all the vaults are separate.
Mm-hmm.
Separate, and the savages like break into vaults for fun and kill them and take their supplies. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So it's interesting series.
Yeah.
You got to check it out.
All right.
After this podcast, I'm going to sneak in an episode. Thank God there's only like eight of them.
Yeah.
That's my current event.
Okay.
I haven't watched like binge watched anything in like years.
Yeah.
I think the last one was what was it? That Outer Banks.
Tiger King.
Yeah, I mean, that was 2020. Yeah, I did binge the Tiger King. That was fun.
Yeah.
But I think I watched the Outer Banks.
Yeah.
It was kind of cool for a little bit. But
Yeah.
All right. What the crap?
Yeah, my what the crap this week comes from Brazil. We have a woman. Her name is Erica de Souza. And she wheels her 68-year-old uncle, Paulo, into a bank. She's going to take out a loan, help him take out a loan.
This sounds sketchy.
She wanted to take out a loan for about $3,400. Of course, she needed him to sign it, because it's going to go in his name. And she kept asking him to sign it and said, hey, I can't do this for you. I need you to do it. Come on. And he wouldn't do it. So the staff asked why he wasn't talking, because they noticed that he was pretty still. And he wasn't really moving. And so they said, why isn't he talking? He's just like that. He's a quiet guy. He doesn't really move too much. So they end up calling the police because something doesn't smell right here. And the police show up and go, well, yeah, the guy's clearly dead. It seems like he's been dead for a while. Like, he was not alive when he came into this bank. So they arrested her. They take him and they do an autopsy, and it showed that he most likely had heart failure. Like hours before, days before even. But he was also malnourished. She's been arrested.
Wow.
She did not get her loan.
Just trying to squeeze that last $3,400 out of them.
Yeah. Crazy, isn't it?
This is Brazil, you said?
Brazil, yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean, why can't he talk? Like, his eyes were clearly not open.
I think they had sunglasses on him. It was like a Weekend at Bernie's situation.
Okay.
Yeah. So
I don't know. I've never seen The Weekend at Bernie's. I don't ever get that saying.
We should watch it and do a recap.
For me? You mean I need to watch it.
Well, I haven't seen it in quite a while, but yeah.
Okay. My homework.
Yes.
I got other things to worry about. I'm doing the Fallout thing. Okay. Can't happen, but
All right.
One of these times I will tell you when I watch it. You just gotta remind me. You gotta remind me to watch it. All right. My what the crap's out of Oklahoma. Actually, it's how do you say it? Pontotoc County, Oklahoma. There was two friends catfishing in a river, and it was Jimmy Knighton and what's this other guy's name? Something Sanders. The heck's his name? Jimmy Knighton.
Dion.
Huh?
Dion Sanders.
It's Knighton and Sanders, and they're catfishing in the Oklahoma River, okay, in Pontotoc County. So Knighton, 50, they're both 50, around 50, in their 50s. They were arguing about a fish when Sanders thinks he sees Bigfoot. I think it was Knighton. Did I say Knighton thinks he sees Bigfoot?
Said Sanders thinks he sees Bigfoot.
Yeah, Sanders thinks he sees Bigfoot. Sorry.
Okay.
Well, Knighton thinks, Sanders is kind of being a loon. So he's jokingly starts howling through a pipe, mocking him. And what Sanders thought he was doing was trying to summon, what he ends up telling police, a tribe of Bigfoot, to their location. So at the time, Sanders, believed Knighton was trying to put him in danger. Mm-hmm. Eventually, Knighton and Sanders engage in a scuffle along the riverbank, and Sanders ends up choking Knighton to death.
Whoa.
Yeah. So stops breathing.
That escalated quickly.
Yeah, so then the cops show up, and he actually tells the cops about the whole Bigfoot story, and tells him he's actually planning on floating Knighton down the river to, feed him to Bigfoot. Bigfoot tribe to keep them safe. Mm-hmm. Eventually, he's arrested. He's convicted, actually, guilty of the crime. The defense was going to be to plead insanity, but at some point, they decided he was sane, apparently.
Yeah.
He got convicted of first-degree murder. Mm-hmm. Apparently, they're calling the whole story bogus. And I don't know. I guess they're not really buying the Bigfoot story.
It is an interesting defense, I guess.
You would think he'd kind of get a roll. You would think after all this info coming out that they would just roll on with the insanity plea, but apparently mm-hmm. at some point they must have took a plea deal or something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
The dude's nuts.
So what substance do you think he was under the influence of?
This is definitely a tweakers on the river. Tweakers on the river. Did I talk about that last week? The like Apple Creek stabbing.
Yeah, I think
I don't know if it was on the podcast or not. Yeah,
we talked about it. I don't know if we did it on air.
Dude, just stay away from the river. Bad things go on by the river.
Yeah,
that's just the truth. You're gonna be a corpse on the river. There's a lot of corpses on and along the river and in the river, the bottom of the
river. At the bottom of the river?
Yeah. Just stay out of the river, boy. That's all I got. Sports.
I got a couple sports stories. First up, Michigan got hit with some sanctions this week.
Good.
Did they revoke
the national championship by chance?
Not yet. Because these punishments are not for those crimes. If you remember, what we talked about months ago, right, was Harbaugh's kind of under investigation for multiple things at the same time. The big one, of course, is the cheating scandal, filming the other team, stealing signs, all of that, right?
Yeah.
The other one is much smaller. It is a recruiting violation where he essentially met with a recruit during a COVID dead period, bought him a hamburger when he wasn't supposed to be doing that. They were video chatting with the team during weightlifting sessions when they weren't supposed to have, coaching interaction with the players. They did. So it's like minor things that, like, who cares?
Sounds like it shouldn't even be a rule.
Right. But it is a rule,
minor thing.
Right. And had they said, like, oops, we're sorry, they probably don't even get sanctioned for it. It's probably like, okay, thanks for letting us know. Right.
Yeah.
The problem is when they were confronted with evidence, they lied to the investigators and said, basically, this didn't happen. You guys are full of shit. So because they refused to cooperate with the investigation for those crimes that are, should be a speeding ticket, right? Instead, they get 3 years probation, they get fines, they get recruiting restrictions, and then they've even passed out a couple show cause penalties for some of the coaches. So I guess this is kind of like foreshadowing what we're going to see, because these are pretty severe punishments for what they actually did, right?
I guess.
I mean, they basically they got put on probation for going 10 miles an hour of the speed limit, right? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, with all the other stuff that's going on right now. Yeah.
Yeah. So
the NIL and all this crazy crap.
The problem for Michigan is that they have not even been dealt, the first step, NCAA does their investigation, then they issue a notice of allegations. It says, here's what we found. Here are the rules that we feel that you broke. The school has 90 days to respond to that notice, and then the NCAA takes everything into consideration and deals out their punishment, right? Mm-hmm. They haven't even been given the notice of allegations yet, for the cheating scandal. They're still investigating that and still trying to talk to the coaches and the players and the people around the organization.
Really? That's pretty damn slow.
Well, yeah, that's the NCAA for you. But I think that the NCAA wanted to use this punishment as like a warning. Like, hey, cooperate on the other one or else. Because they're not really getting any cooperation from the school and from the coaches.
Yeah, or we're like going to axe this program.
Right. So basically this is like kind of a, here's your last chance.
This is what we can do to
you. Do it or else.
Right. This is what we can do to you punishment. Yeah.
Right. So we'll see how it comes down. You know, we still have, this is the tip of the iceberg, right? We still have much, much more to come out because, you know, while the punishment that, or the crime that they got this punishment for was speeding, the other one is murder, right? I don't see any way that they don't get severely punished, right?
What's the worst punishment they can do to you? Revoking their national title? Is that what you're...
I think they have to, right? I mean, they have to pretty much vacate the last three seasons. Have to.
Yeah, but they already happened, and who cares, right?
But the worst thing that they could do, and I don't think it'll go to this level, would be the death penalty, right? To shut the program down. You just don't have a football team.
They're not going to do that.
They've done it before in the past. That's SMU. They gave them the death penalty back in the 80s. And SMU,
for how long?
Just for 1 year.
1 year?
1 year.
Wow. But, what was that over? The SMU scandal?
They were paying players.
Oh, yeah. Like they do now.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but that was real taboo back then. I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, you know, that's something that really wasn't a big deal. It was cheating, but was it? I mean, they're paying players. This is actually affecting on the field. You know, what's actually happening.
It's like cheating. It is. Cheating.
It's completely cheating.
It's cheating.
So, yeah, I think that that's going to, you know, you're affecting the integrity of the game now, right? And I think that the problem is that if the NCAA does not make an example out of Michigan, then every team in the country is going to be doing the same thing. And when the NCAA shows up, they're just going to give them the finger and tell them to get out.
Well, here's the thing.
Why would you cooperate with the NCAA if they don't?
Other teams are doing the same thing. They're just not getting caught, right? Like, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
I don't think so. I don't think, not to the level that Michigan was.
Yeah, they were sciencing it up, like getting good at it.
No, they were like hacking into, allegedly hacking into like practice films.
Oh, shit.
So they were like, it went way deeper than.
They're like just going
and filming from the stands, right?
They're probably like paying like grad assistants at other schools to funnel them film. That would be how you
that hack. Could be. No, you would, I mean, it'd be like a hacker, right? They would like commit cyber fraud. Yeah. Like, hey, I am spying.
Like, yeah, that's legit spying.
I got Ryan Day's credentials for their game plan, right? So they just log in as though they are Ryan Day or whoever.
Like, here's the script for the first 12 plays.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So,
right.
Yeah. I mean, if they find any evidence of that, I don't see how. I think you have to shut the program down.
Well, how are they going to find evidence of that if they Hillary Clinton'd all the laptops?
Well, we will see.
Guilty.
The other
Hunter topic, what Hunter Biden do with his laptop?
I don't know. I think it just kind of got swept under the rug, didn't it?
See, these are all possibilities. Like,
yeah,
this might just be like, who cares? It's hard to tell. They can either really come down on him hard, or do the Democrat who cares thing.
But Jim Harbaugh's dad is not the president of the United States, so he doesn't get to do whatever he wants.
Well, pretty much. Harbaugh's rule. Kind of like O'Doyle. O'Doyle rules.
That's what he thinks.
He's gone.
Yeah.
Gonna punish the program, or are you gonna just like arrest Jim Harbaugh? Yeah. He's gone.
Well, I think you can, you know, you can strip him of everything that he's won, right? And then you can make sure that he doesn't come back to any college. And yeah. then you have to hammer the program and the school, because they're the ones that
hired
not him. not only did they let it happen, but they backed him and said, you know, basically he's innocent and you guys are just haters.
So yeah. You want immunity from this investigation.
Yeah.
What other sports you got?
Yeah, the other topic I have is Jonte Porter. Was a Toronto Raptors forward.
I was hoping you would hit this topic.
Yeah. He is the brother of Nuggets forward Michael Porter Jr. He has been banned for life from the NBA. Second person to ever be banned for life from the NBA. Donald Sterling. Do you know who Donald Sterling is?
Sounds very familiar. Is it the ref?
No, he didn't even get banned for life. Donald Sterling was the Clippers owner that basically made a bunch of racist comments and he got canceled. And
I knew it rang a bell.
Yeah. But anyway, Jonte Porter has been banned for life from the NBA. After an investigation by the NBA found that he told some people about his condition that he had before one of his games. And one of these people bet $80,000 on a parlay of his over-unders, right? So they said he's going to have less than 5 points, less than 5 assists, less than 5 rebounds, right? They parlayed all of those. They put $80,000 on it. And they won like $1 million. So when the game starts, he checks in, and then he like runs up and down the court a couple times. And then he checks out, takes himself out of the game, says, "I'm sick, I can't do this, coach," quits the game. That wins. The bet was immediately frozen, and the NBA started their investigation, so they are not going to pay that bet out. They also, when they got to looking into it, they found that he won $22,000 betting on someone else's account. He was like using his girlfriend's account or something to bet on other basketball games and stuff like that.
I was going to say that they probably have to do it themselves if they, I don't know.
Yeah.
Ban him like that. Yeah. That one bet alone is worth like banning him.
Probably. Right? Yeah, because how do you know that he's not going to do the same thing again? But like, oh, we only got caught because it was an $80,000 bet on a player that just got called up from the G League. Like, this dude just came up from the minors. He'd been in for like what, weeks?
Was it?
He's not a very big player at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
He's not Shohei Ohtani.
No.
Can't blame it on his translator.
Nope.
How's that still playing out? His translator's going to jail.
Probably. Yeah, no new updates this week. But I did see that he broke the record for Japanese-born baseball player home runs. So he's still hitting dingers.
Yeah, that's all he's got to do. Keep hitting dingers. Man. All right. You ready to get this show back on the rails, man?
Yep. Here we go.
Well, not this show. Our lives.
Philippians 2:3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value of others above yourselves. Philippians 2:3.
What's that mean?
It means you shouldn't be selfish and make sure you always help other people before you just help yourself.
Yep. Good job, buddy.
It ain't always about you.